Andrew. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21. We are in a series of messages the last couple weeks talking about giving, and with the context of our joyous offering, we always use the last couple weeks, if you will, of April, kind of like a stewardship month and stewardship lessons and sermons. And so today we're going to look at a tremendous illustration of giving. It's really the message of the widow's mite. We're going to talk about the message of the widow's mite. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ it's a rather interesting story. It's a rather unique illustration of giving. Now, I just want to say one thing right away. That clock back there is 6:08. My son, Toby, in the choir said, "Dad, we're done." I'm like, typical preacher's kid, you know, wanting to get out of church. But so that's going to drive you crazy. But I promise you, we'll be out of here before midnight, according to that clock. And you'll be able to have the rest of your day. Don't forget tonight, I know they'll mention in the video, tonight is teen takeover service. And the teens are going to be doing pretty much all the stuff. And Brother David will be preaching. And I told David, I said, "You've got 20 minutes to preach." He texted me yesterday, Bill, and said, "Preacher, I'm going to be 3 minutes over. Is that okay?" Buddy, he's got it down to the minute. So if he's at 23 minutes and doesn't get done, we'll push the lever and he'll disappear from the pulpit. So you come out tonight and support our kids as they'll be singing. They'll be leading the singing and doing the offering. Well, we might let them do the offering. We'll see. But preaching, and I know you'll be encouraged by that. You know, I remember years ago, just to kind of hit on that just for a minute. I remember years ago hearing, and I don't know who said it and who started it, but for years I would hear that youth are the church of tomorrow. Youth are the church of tomorrow. Youth are the church of tomorrow. You know, and that seems good in theory, and we know that, yes, they are the church of tomorrow. But here's what I've learned as a preacher of the gospel, as a pastor for many years. If you don't get young people involved now in ministry, they won't be the church of tomorrow. Amen? You got to get them plugged in. You got to get them excited about serving Jesus and love, and really, and it is. It is a fun thing. It is exciting. And I do appreciate our youth workers, Joe and Jen Hall and Andrew and Rebecca. It's a blessing to have their heart and their passion and to work with our kids. And so that's the invitation to come out tonight. It's at 6 o'clock or according to that clock, probably 11:30 tonight. You can come back and we'll have a good time in the Lord's house. Luke chapter 21, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of Word of God. Luke chapter 21, we'll start our reading beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And he looked up," because this is the Lord Jesus Christ, "and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites, very insignificant amount, very minute, very small, insignificant as far as seemingly, let me say it like that, seemingly insignificant amount. But you're going to see something how the Lord Jesus Christ sees it, because it's often, it's amazing how God sees things that we may not understand and realize. The Bible says he saw, verse 2 again, "He saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." That makes no sense. This poor widow, Jesus' assessment of her offering, her giving, he says, "This poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that what is said and done these next few minutes will give you honor and glory. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to, in obedience to you, give back a portion. Lord, you've been so good to us. And Father, we thank you that you are the sustainer of our life. You are the provider of our life. And Father, I know sometimes we can think that we're the ones that are doing it and we're the ones that are providing. But Father, we know your word declares that every good and perfect gift comes from you. So, Father, I ask that you'll bless, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll allow us and awaken us to the proper understanding of biblical stewardship. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. I want to say thank you for a tremendous crowd in the Lord's house today. It's a blessing to have you with us today. Well, so what do we see? We see Jesus Christ observing the offering. It's rather interesting how the Lord Jesus Christ, in the context of the story, how he's watching people, and he's looking at the temple, and he's watching people as they come, if you will, as they come to worship, they come to church, and they're bringing their offerings there in the temple, and Jesus is observing it. And he's watching those put their money in. And then all of a sudden, Jesus mentions to his disciples, he recognizes, he says it twice, a poor widow woman. Now, automatically, as we process this and as we think about this, we're going to notice, first of all, if you like to take notes, and I often like to take notes, it helps me to, you know, especially if the preacher's boring, it'll help you stay awake, and I find that helps. But we're going to notice, first of all, the Lord's observation. Notice the Lord's observation. The Bible tells us that he sees this widow woman. Why did Jesus observe the offering and tell us his story? What are the lessons? What do we learn about the truths of this story? Well, we see a couple of things as far as briefly by way of introduction. The widow is unnamed. She's not mentioned by name. Yet she has a place in the Bible, Hall of Fame, if you will. She's the hero of all those unnamed and unnoticed saints of God who keep our churches going. She represents those, as I love one writer writes, he says she represents those just because they love Jesus who do the work of the Lord unselfishly. He indicated that the thing of most importance is not how much is given, but the extent to which the gift is a sacrificial one. Or to put it another way, the most significant thing is not how much is given. This is good. The most significant thing is not how much is given, but how much is left for one's personal use after the gift. The emphasis is not on how much is given. The emphasis, this is good, the emphasis is on how much is left after the gift is given. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's true. You can never outgive God. I promise you that. You can never outgive God. One of the joys that my wife and I have, of course, we have three kids, and I remember when our kids were small, and we'd be at a store or whatever, and people would ask us, oh, are these your children? And we'd tell them the names. And finally, we realized, let's just rename them. So we renamed our kids, and it was basically, yeah, these are our kids, eeny, meeny, miny, and we're having no mo, right? That's what we used to tell people. But you never know. So we may have some more coming soon. Hang on, my wife's not pregnant. Let me preface this. Whoa, I need to slow down. That made me have heart palpitations just now when I said that. Whew. But we may be getting my niece and two nephews that right now are in foster care, we found out about. So we covet your prayers. We've reached out to CPS down in Kentucky, and we are offering to take them. And so they've ordered a house study of our family. So anyway, you pray for us, and we want God's wisdom to be done. And we know that you'll pray along that with us as well. And our heart to God is, I mean, they're young kids. I think the ages are 6 years old, 8 years old, and 10 year old. And so you pray for us, and I know you will, and that God's perfect will be done. So anyway, but we really truly by God's grace want to change the cycle in their life. And you pray for my sister, and she's having some struggles right now, and actually is currently in jail. And I know you'll pray for her. Her name is Letta. So please remember her in prayer. But as far as in the context of this story, Jesus Christ set his approval for all time upon sacrifice and the love which promotes it. The story displays that he judges gifts not by the amount, but by the motive. That's a good word. Jesus, the story really shows us that Jesus judges gifts by our motive, not by the amount. I love this principle. I love the Word of God in the context of the principle of giving. You'll also find in the Bible, and I know people, and I know the misconception, the stereotypes that people want to say, and you know, as far as the preacher shouldn't talk on money, and that's a sensitive subject. Well, here's what I've learned in my life as a preacher. I'll never apologize for calling God's people to biblical obedience in the area of their giving and their finances. The Lord Jesus Christ, hear me, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ will bless you if you just simply are obedient in the area of giving. He'll bless you for that. You know, and I've said this to you before, because we worship one God, and that God is not money, we give. Amen? Because we worship God, and that God is not money, that one God is not money, we give. We've had the joy as parents trying to pour into our kids the value and the importance of being givers. You know, where the world is full, honestly, of a lot of takers, but I pray to God that when it's all said and done and we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as his children, if you're born again, and you will, according to the Bible, when you stand before the Lord, I pray that we'll be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as somebody that was obedient in the area, in many areas of life, and also specifically in the area of our giving. But there's a message here. There's a message in this. We see the Lord's observation. We see his perception here. He looked, the Bible says he looked on this situation, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich casting their gifts into the treasury. But the word "looked" there, it's an interesting word. It indicates that he was more than just an indifferent spectator. It means he was looking with intention, looking intently and observing what was going on. And ladies and gentlemen, tremendous truth to know that the Lord Jesus Christ sees everything that we do. It's a tremendous truth, but it's also a humble kind of a statement. The Lord Jesus Christ knows every single thing that we do. Wow. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I remember saying recently that as far as in the context of what we do and why we do this, we should understand that what we do and why we do it should simply be because we serve for an audience of one. We serve for an audience of one. And that one is Jesus Christ the Lord. I think if we would understand that principle, I think it would affect every area of our life. I really do. I think it will affect our walk with the Lord. I think it will affect our worship. I think it will affect our witness. I think it will affect our wealth. If we understand that, if we understand that givers gain, if we understand that you can't outgive God, if we understand that if you'll just simply trust the Lord to take care of it. They did a statistic, and I've learned over the years that facts indeed are our friends, but they say on average, just on average, they say on average that the average Christian in a local church in America, on average, gives about 2% of their income. About 2%. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the book of Malachi to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The tithes were the first tenth. Somebody said, yeah, the tithes were the tenth. Well, actually, the tithes were the first tenth. You see, it was a way of demonstrating and showing our dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said to you not too long ago that it would be a blessing to be able to get this debt paid off, and in doing so, to hopefully, prayerfully, take on more missionaries and reach more parts of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That would be a blessing to do that. And you know, if the statistics are accurate, and to be quite honest, I have no reason necessarily to doubt that, but if the statistics are right that the average person gives 2%, I often wonder what would happen if we would just tithe. What would happen in our church if we would just tithe, that we would just give a tenth? Now, many of you, maybe you give more than a tenth, and I'll be honest, tithing is just a starting point, really. Tithing is just a starting point. You'll be amazed at what God can do. It's quiet in here, church. You say, yeah, it's quiet, preacher, because you're hitting us in the pocketbook. No, I pray God will use it. Jesus Christ concerns himself with what we do with our money. In fact, money is mentioned over 2,000 times in the Bible. One person said, and they counted it, said it's actually mentioned 2,350 times in your Bible the topic of money comes up. So Jesus had much to speak about money. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, I love Warren Wiersbe. He's actually a tremendous man of God, and he wrote some tremendous books. And Warren Wiersbe said wealth can be dangerous. It has power and can slowly seduce us into treating it like a god. Instead of loving God with all the heart, the soul, mind, in our strength, we try to love God and money. And before long, God loses out. The desire for money possesses the heart. Thoughts of ways to get money control the mind. And before long, the will is captured and money starts to rule the will. You'll have people say, well, see right there, money is the root of all evil. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say that money is the root of all evil. Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a big difference. You know, it's a big difference as far as in that context. But notice in this story, we see the Lord's observation. Notice he sees, first of all, those with plenty. Look at the text. The Bible says in verse 1, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. It was literally the area between the court of the Gentiles and the court of women. There was that beautiful gate in the court of women. There were 13 collecting boxes called the trumpets because they were so shaped. Each of them was for a special purpose, for instance, to buy corn or wine or oil for the sacrifices. They were for contributions for the daily sacrifices and expenses of the temple. So Jesus sees the rich. He sees those with plenty and they're putting in. But second of all, notice those in poverty. Notice those in poverty. He saw a certain poor woman, the Bible tells us. A certain poor woman. And the Bible tells us she's casting in thither two mites. The Greek word expresses extreme poverty, the word mite there. It was the smallest coin in use in the first century. To give you an idea of how much it was or how little it was, it took 64 mites to amount to denarius or a day's wage. It was worth only a fraction of a penny. A fraction of a penny. So she puts two fractions of a penny into the offerings. That's all she had. She was a poor, and the Bible tells us, she was a poor widow woman. Those in poverty. Everything. Listen, friend, we got to understand something. That every, and I said this in my prayer earlier, that I pray that God allows us to understand the biblical principle of stewardship. The Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Do you realize everything that you have, and I said everything that you have, every single thing that you have is a gift of God. The house that you live in, the car that you drive, the clothes on your back, the food that you eat, the health that you have, the job that you have, it's a gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, you say, oh, pastor, I've worked hard and I've got an education and I really did my due diligence to look and put the resumes out. And I worked hard for all this, preacher. Yeah, you're right. And I'm all for hard work and I'm all for dedication. I'm all for education and doing the best that you can and being the best that you can and learning the skill sets. But you got to understand, it's all by the grace of God that you're able to do that. It's all by the grace of God that you have what you have. And I know, listen, friend, I know, and I promise you this. If there's one thing, another thing that this story tells us, Jesus Christ, again, he's really focused on the motive of why we give, not necessarily as far as in the amount of that. She gave all, and Jesus said, she gave more than the rich people did. Why? Because the rich people gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her poverty. She gave everything that she had. Why? You say, preach, that makes no sense to me. Well, Jesus also said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful means hilarious. He loves, it's hilarious. He loves a cheerful giver. If we'll just be obedient. And I promise you this, and I'm not, and one thing's less than I do, and I started to tell you a minute ago, one thing that Leslie and I, over the years, we've tried to do with our kids is show them the importance of giving and show them. And you say, preacher, do you tell your kids what you give? Yeah, we'll sometimes tell them, hey, look what we're able to give and look what God's done. But then, you know, we'll have things happen and we'll have blessings happen that to the natural person, it just seems like coincidence or it just seems like chance or it just seems like this or something like that. But we know better. We know better because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know God knows what we need. Can I get a witness in this room? He knows what we need. We had a situation years ago, and my wife and I, it was a financial situation, and my wife and I got on our knees before the Lord there at our couch, and we prayed, and we said, God, this is a situation, and we're just asking you. You know our hearts, and we know God as far as we're not asking for as far as for any special favor, but God, you know our need. And I promise you, the Lord Jesus Christ showed up and God provided that. And the Lord, He over and over and over, He never ceases to amaze us with what He does. If we'll get excited about what God does, I'm telling you, He gets excited and loves to bless us for doing it. So we see those in poverty. So we see the Lord's perception, but we see, second of all, letter B under that, we see His position. The Bible tells us His position. Verse 3 tells us Jesus, you know, so he's watching the temple. Mark's account tells us that he's, you know, he saw what the people, you know, he's seeing this, he's seeing all this unfold. He's not so interested in what they gave as to how they gave it. He was looking at the motives of their heart. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." What a tremendous blessing. You know, one of the things I've seen as a pastor over the years, it's remarkable to me. And I said to you, when we get excited about the things that God gets excited about, He blesses and He provides like you can never imagine. I remember years ago, two stories that come to my mind, but one was a long time ago. And, you know, we had a vibrant bus ministry. Our bus ministry is kind of in a transition right now, and we're hopefully this year going to rebuild those routes and get those routes really built back up and fill those vans and buses up. But I remember years ago, and trust me, I've heard over the years, and there has been statements over the years, all preacher bus ministry costs a lot of money, and it does. And all preacher, you know, this or that. But here's what I've learned. If we just stay excited about souls, God will take care of our needs. For example, we had some, at that time, this was years ago, but we had at that time, we had some young kids that would come to our church, and the grandmother of these children, she was a devout Catholic lady, sweet lady, and actually had visited our church many, many times. But because, and no one really knew this, but I knew it, because she would send her son to do this, she found out that we would bus her grandkids in, and we showed an interest, and we showed love, and we cared about them, and we loved them, and we really just tried to show them Christ. Well, that grandmother, who was not even a member here, who was a devout Catholic lady, to her parish where she was belonged to, that grandmother, on a quarterly basis, she had some investments, and on a quarterly basis would give thousands of dollars to our congregation, to our church. Not even a member. She would give because we took interest. We showed interest in her children, her grandchildren, who had a very tumultuous home and a rough home life and all that. That kind of situation. You know, another thing, too, we get excited about as far as ministering to people and their needs and helping people. And we try to be very intentional. And I mean this. We try to be very intentional as a deacon staff, as a church, as a pastor. We try to be very intentional into helping and taking care of our widows and our church family. You know, and it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon when we've taken care of a need and one of the widows in our family or orphan children, those that don't know who their dads are, don't have a dad in their life, and we take interest in that and we love on them and we help and we provide some things for them. The prosecuting attorney, what's his name? Eric Smith, prosecuting attorney, for the last 3 years, right around Christmas time, has sent us $500, 3 years in a row, has sent us $500 to invest in our ministry. We just get excited. It's not uncommon for God to do that. We've had people from out of state through our website, ianbaptist.com. We've had people from out of state when they find out about us reaching the homeless veterans. When they find out that we as a church were, when we had that flood and we as a church family, many of you went into basements and were cleaning those basements up. We've had people from out of state send the church money to help in that situation. You say, "Preacher, what's your point? You can never outgive God." In the Lord Jesus Christ, if we stay excited about what Jesus is excited about, He'll bless and He'll provide every need that we have. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful God. So Jesus Christ is watching. Jesus Christ, He makes a statement here on the measure, the motive, and the means and the manner of their giving. Look at the text. And the Bible says in verse 3 again, "And He said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." What a tremendous observation. What a tremendous principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is showing us in this text. You can never outgive God. And Brother Roy Humble, many of you knew Brother Roy Humble. Brother Roy Humble, and I've told you this many, many times. Brother Roy Humble, I believe, was the one that said, Tracy, hold everything that you have with an open hand. You see, one of the things that we can sometimes have a propensity to do, we can have kind of want to hold on to things. We kind of want to hold on to things, right? We got to hold on to it. But you do know, ladies and gentlemen, that one of these days we're going to let go of everything that we have. One of these days we'll let go. And I know I've heard people say, well, preacher, can't take it to heaven when you can't take it with you. No, but I think biblically you can send it on ahead. Can I get a witness? You can't take it, but you can send it on ahead, because you can invest in things that will outlast you, friend. You can invest in opportunities and ministries. And by the way, the Bible says one of the things that we know, the reason as far as the judgment seat of Christ comes much later on, the reason we know that is because currently the Bible teaches that even when we die, that our works can still follow us. And Jesus Christ is keeping account of all that. He's keeping account of all that we have. He's keeping account of all that we've done. I told my boys last night, we were talking about this, and I say this, God is my witness. I say this not to brag, but I said to my wife, I said, with Cameron in the car, I said, we were talking about situations and talking about different needs, and I said, man, I said, I wish we had another vehicle to help somebody out, to give to somebody. And I told our boys, and we got thinking about it. My wife and I started talking about it. I said, honey, I said, we've given away 3 vehicles. We gave away a Dodge Dynasty. We gave away an Omni. We gave away an Omni station wagon. Can I get a witness in the building? We gave that away. We gave them away. You said, preacher, you telling us to brag on yourself? And the God is my witness. There's nothing to brag on. But I'm just here to tell you, friend, if you get excited about the thing that God gets excited about, and here's another thing. This is a good word. I'm getting down here because I'm excited about it. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. There's nothing like giving. There's nothing like it. You want to put a smile on your face? Start giving. Start giving anonymously. Start when you're out to dinner and you see a soldier, pick up his tab. I love doing that. I ain't saying to brag on me, but I love doing that. I had that happen. I was at the Big Boy restaurant. Can I get a witness in the building? My wife hates the Big Boy restaurant. Pray for her. But I was up there the other day where that mean manager who called me a lady was, still is. She wasn't there. Maybe she got fired for insulting masculine men with the name Tracy. But anyway, I was sitting there eating. I saw a soldier. He was in uniform. He had his 3 little kids with him. I love just picking up the tab, that kind of stuff. And just loving on them, just encouraging them, showing appreciative of what they do. He said, preacher, why are you telling us all that? I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like living by a principle of giving. God's been good to me. God's been so good to me. Let me say it like this. Maybe this will resonate in your heart. Is anybody else in the building that God's blessed you way beyond you ever could think or dream? Amen? Can I get a witness in here? He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. And friend, I promise you, as your preacher, there's been many, many times where it hasn't, it was things were tight. There has been times where things were tight where we're like, wait a minute, no, we've just got to honor the Lord. We got to be faithful and honor the Lord and let God take what we give and let God bless it, because He'll bless it and He'll do amazing things with it. And He does. Time and time and time again, He does. My wife, I tell my wife, we had a situation that was brought to our attention, and we had recliners. I had mine. I named my recliner the Word. The reason I named my recliner the Word is when I fall asleep, and if anybody calls, my wife can honestly say he can't come to the church, can't come to the phone, because he's in the Word right now. And people, it makes you feel better, and people don't frown on you so bad for taking an afternoon nap. But anyway. So I had my recliner, I named the Word, and Leslie had her recliner. Get this, and I'm going to brag on the pastor's wife for a minute. Through Kelly Collegio, we had found out about a dear lady that's battling cancer right now. As a matter of fact, her son's with us this morning, so I'm not going to embarrass them. I'm not going to point him out. But anyway, my wife found out, so my wife got excited about it. She goes, oh, babe, we got to help this family. I said, let's do it. So she had picked up some stuff, some donations, and you guys gave. Many of you in the church donated some things. And so my wife took it down to her and the boys. And Leslie said, honey, she said, when I got there, Leslie comes back to me, and she's all excited. She goes, honey, she said, we got to do something. I said, what is it? She goes, well, she goes, babe, when I got there, here's a mom who's battling stage 3 ovarian cancer right now and has a sweet family and a single mom. And so Les come home, and she goes, babe, she said, when I got there, she was sitting on the floor. She said, she has no furniture in her house. And you got to understand, if my wife, if Buttercup hones in on something, you might as well let go of it because she's all right. So she comes home, she goes, we're going to give her a chair. I said, all right. Well, we went in Cameron's room first. Cameron has a nice chair in his room, and we went in his room, and he doesn't know this, but me and Mom picked up your chair, and we couldn't get it out the door, and I was too lazy to take the door off the hinges. And we tried 2 or 3 ways. We went sideways, we went straight, she went low, I went high, and then we had intense fellowship. It was a glorious day. So then she said, no problem. She goes, I'm going to give her mine. I said, okay. So my wife gave her leather recliner to that lady. And you know what, friend? I promise you this. We don't miss it. You say, yeah, you don't miss it. She didn't. No, no, no. I will tell you this. True story. I've sat on the couch a couple times since then. Because when Les is all stretched out there, I ain't gonna poke the bear, man. You don't poke the bear. But you calling Leslie a bear? She's a mama grizzly bear sometimes. But anyway, you say, I preach it's just a chair. No, I disagree with you. We're just house managers of the resources God has given us. A steward, the word steward means house manager. We've been entrusted with everything that we have. The clothes that we have. The cars that we drive, the homes that we live in. We know, you said, preacher, you live in a parsonage. You're right. And you all take very good care of my wife and I and my family. And I'm thankful to God we live in a beautiful home. But you know what? That home belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It truly does. And when needs arise, you know, like my niece and 2 nephews in foster care now because a family member couldn't get them soon enough, we've got to do something about that. You say, preacher, well, you're 44 years old. You're right. I never dreamed I could possibly have another 6-year-old in my home. But you know what? If God can use us, and here's what I love about the Lord. If God sometimes has to allow us to be uncomfortable just for a moment to meet somebody else's need, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And so the point of the story is, if you... watch out for Leslie if she comes in your home because she'll give everything away. Food over the years. Just so many things. Givers gain. If you want to really be somebody that has joy in your heart and a smile on your face, just be somebody that loves to give. It's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Well, what God will do, and God will bless you in that. Let me wind this thing down. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We've noticed his observation, but now Jesus is going to, we see the Lord's wisdom that he tells us. We see the Lord's wisdom of this. You see, Jesus said in Mark's account, he used the word penury here, but in Mark's gospel, he tells us, and he says that all the rich gave out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, she's put everything, she's put her whole livelihood, she's put all that she had in. And Jesus recognized that. Here's the truth. Most give out of their abundance. Fact, most still give less than a tithe. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, givers gain. When I die, and I know I will one day, I pray. Yeah, I know what's going to be on your tombstone, preacher. You know, I know what they're going to put on your tombstone. The beggar died. No, I hope they don't put that. But you see, friend, I mean this. I pray that when I die, I promise you before God, I pray that when I die, it will be said that preacher was a giver. I mean that. I pray that it will be said that preacher was a giver. Not just financially, but time. Right? You know the sermon, time, talent, treasures. That we're givers. So helping people, loving people. You say, you talked about giving cars away. Preacher, I've got an extra car. Honestly, we don't drive it. We put insurance on it. Please, if you have an extra vehicle, I have somebody that needs one. You say, you're asking for cars from the pulpit. It's not for me. I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for someone in our church that has a need. It's a single mom would have a need. I'm not trying to embarrass, but if you have an extra vehicle, you let me know. You say, why? Really? Yeah. You say, Pastor, well, talk about Joash's offering. You're always talking about Joash's offering. Yeah, because it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity to invest in something that will outlast you. It really will. It will outlast you. Ministering to families and reaching men and women, boys and girls, you know, feeding the homeless, feeding the needy in our church and around. You know, Miss Tracy is constantly, you know, through City of Refuge, she brings food by all the time. And my wife, again, she'll dig in through that and separate it. And sometimes it'll feed 10, 15 families. Things like that. You say, Preacher, man, that never really knew we did that as a congregation. I'll be honest, if we told you everything that y'all do as a congregation, we'd be here till midnight tonight. We don't have time. But again, there's a mighty message there. There's a tremendous message in that widow. She was poor. Jesus mentioned it twice. I've had people over the years tell me, Preacher, I can't afford to give. I've got bills and I've got a family to take care of and I got this and I got that. Well, sweet friend, I love you, but understand something. You can't afford not to give. You can't afford not to give. I guarantee that poor widow woman could have said, well, I'm going to Temple Day, but no, I can't give. No, that poor widow woman, if I try to flesh it out in my mind, she was poor, so that come with a stigma. She was a widow, that come with pain and hurt. Maybe the reason she responded so generously to the Lord, just me, just fleshing out my mind, maybe the reason she responded so generously to Jesus is because when her husband died, maybe she saw how God provided. When her husband, maybe before he died, when he was sick, she saw how the Lord took care of her needs. She saw how God would touch the hearts of people to then respond to her needs without her having to tell anybody. She talked to Jesus about it. I've learned that too, lesson too. I promise you this. You can ask my wife this. You can ask my kids this. Over the years, we are not people that run around talking about what we don't have. We are not people that run around begging for anything. But I promise you what we do. What we do in our, we try to practice in our life is we just try to tell the Lord Jesus about it. Because Jesus knows what we need long before we could even ask it. Jesus knows what we need. But again, if you have a car, I'll give it away for you. I promise you, I will. We've got somebody that really needs one right now. So, Pastor, what's your point? What's the point of it all? Giver's gain. If we look at Jesus by way of imitation today, if we look at Jesus, and you want to see what true, genuine giving is, look at the cross of Calvary. Jesus gave, like this widow woman, as far as monetarily, she gave all. Jesus gave everything that he had in giving us his life as he died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And if you're here today without Christ, your Savior, and you need to be saved, I encourage you today to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. So let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Andrew is going to come.